Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Party Friday. Julie Hayden here along with Chuck Bonuel, the Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up. Chuck is joining us remotely from the our planetary or our subsidiary world headquarters here at the world headquarters in Westminster. You're at the world headquarters downtown. So, hey, Chuck, how are you doing?
I'm doing just great.
Great. And you've got Ted Trimpa joining us also. Ted, I mean, what would Party Friday be without the Sword of Soros? Dem strategist Ted Trimpa.
Of course, we have to. And cocktail included.
Leo would be very pleased to see that. I'm drinking.
Soros scotch.
See, I'm drinking. This is something.
Well, I understand that Ted is called from the other side, the GOP whisperer.
Hey, I was going to say, no, I'm drinking. This is my favorite new find. I can't believe I didn't even know this existed. Carbonated or caffeinated sparkling water. I'm like, whoa, that's perfect.
Oh, isn't that great? Oh, I know. Yeah. That's what I drink in the morning. I don't do coffee anymore.
Exactly. Well, Ted, let me jump. I want to breaking news a little bit first. I mean, there's so much to talk about with Biden and all of that, obviously.
Right.
Yeah, I see you. You can roll your eyes on this show. But first, I don't know if you know this, just came out, Denver Post reporting Heidi Ginnall, the only statewide elected Republican in Colorado, has just filed to run for governor against Jared Polis. If you were a betting man.
Did you hear Ted faint? And fear and trepidation?
Oh, my God. My response is... Surprise, 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 yawn.
Yeah. Frankly, that's our response to. Okay, so enough of that topic. Let's move on to.
No, that's nowhere near enough of that topic. I mean, I think it's very important. And I'm supposed to go to her big gala announcement in Westminster at the Hofbrau House. So nothing says Colorado like the Hofbrau House.
There we go.
So that'll be.
Let's go to a restaurant that has a German name.
Right. Well, there we go. They have darts there, though, and it's by our house. So there we go.
Oh, Firehouse. And you can drink beer.
Yeah.
I did. It's the Hofbrau House.
All right, Chuck. Since you're remote and I'm in control now, we're going to jump to more interesting things. So.
No, we're not. There's nothing more interesting than Heidi Ginnall, because I want to hear Ted's analysis. I mean, as far as I know, right now we've got the two leading candidates, if you want to call it that, are Greg Lopez and now Heidi Ginnall. And Heidi Ginnall will have all the money. Greg will probably have the grassroots support, I suppose.
Right.
But if you had to do a Colorado polls one, since you guys control it anyway,
which is true.
I mean, which is true.
What would you give odds?
Yeah, can anyone even beat Polis? I mean,
okay. Odds on Greg Lopez. Let's say 1,000 to 1.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I'm not for sure Greg Lopez could get out. Well, he could get out of the convention, but we should talk about that though. The whole getting rid of primaries with Polis.
Yeah, we had to go there too. Okay.
That's an interesting topic. A little bit in the weeds. And on Heidi, you know, 3-1 against. I mean, it's first of all, one, it's going to be a little bit of Heidi who.
Yeah.
The second is Jared, whether you believe or agree with this or not, he's doing a good job. And Republicans have done and I'm going to use this purposely, I hope this doesn't get you in trouble, a piss poor job of going after him. You know, the way you beat somebody is you take some shots at them over time and bleed them some. And they've been put in a spot where they have to, you know, every now and then complimenting, which they have. And maybe it's difficult because of the pandemic and some of those things going on, so they didn't feel like it was appropriate. But stuff just hasn't stuck. And I think Jared has really surprised people. And the thing about Jared is everybody, socialist. No, he's an entrepreneur first. disruptor second, and Democrat third. And I think those first two give people some comfort that he's just not some political hack.
But you also forgot to mention that he's really rich, too.
That helps.
Yeah. And he's got this massive ground game set up. That's also, that helps, too.
And you guys cheat, lie, steal, and do everything else. So that's also a plus number for you guys.
Which means we should be open.
You're giving the 3-1 odds.
Oh, at least for Jared.
Yeah, I would give. Well,
Okay. I'll bet $1,000 on 3-1 taking Polis.
But you're saying it's going to be higher, so therefore I lose. No.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You think 3-1 is there? $1,000, and I'll take both.
Republican trying to put a Democrat on math.
Wait, Chuck.
I would think the odds. Wait a minute. If we could just calm down, Joy. No more of that caffeine.
Hit the button. I'm in. Finish.
Yeah.
I would think the odds are at least 10-1. At least 10-1.
I'm trying to be nice to you guys.
Yeah, he was. That's what I was going to say. He was trying to be polite, Chuck. He was saying it's a no-hoper.
Okay.
I mean, I want to move on to something that's going to make us cheerful. Then we'll get more into stuff that's going to make us depressed. Let's talk about Joe Biden.
No. We'll talk about Joe Biden. And so you may know that. I've been heading up along with Anil Mathai and Dave Williams and a lot of other people, this opt-out campaign. We had a huge debate last night, which was a lot of fun, down at the Independence Institute, hosted by the Hispanic Republicans, which was quite amazing. Do you guys ever wonder why? All five. Actually, there's a lot of Hispanic support for Republicans these days, which has a lot of Democrats, not necessarily in Colorado, but across the country. Really kind of worried. I mean, if you lose the Hispanics, you're going to have to find some other victim group to go after and convince.
They've got the Afghans. The Afghans are coming in.
Yeah.
Although they have the measles,
that's right.
They have the measles.
Yeah, well, but they can have their citizenship right away. but are you, you know, the 20 years that you've been working out Blueprint 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, I don't know what you know, is this Blueprint 10.0? Yeah, of destroying Republicans and destroying democracy in Colorado. Have you wondered why the Republicans never fight back? I mean, when you do the finance one, that's probably unconstitutional.
Of course I do. But then the conclusion that I come to is that the only people you guys know to shoot at is yourselves.
Yeah. No, I'm on the executive committee, the state central committee, and that's absolutely true, and so right now,
for people who like to turn right, it's fascinating to me that you always stand in a circle.
Well, in a way,
yeah.
It's to get something done. The problem is anymore, I would submit that thanks to you and Catherine Murdoch, there's not a whole lot of difference between a Democrat legislator and Ted Trimba, Catherine Murdoch elected Republican legislator. So you got to get rid of those guys first. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's a circle, but not really. It's more, I don't know what you would call it, a trapezoid. No, I'm kidding. But it's sort of like you guys, and that's the thing with the opt-out, you guys have invaded the Republican Party politics successfully. So,
you're the biggest contributor to Republican primaries through Unite Colorado and other ones.
All I can say is that if there's an effort, which we know there is, to opt out of open primaries and go back to the caucus system, there's a certain part of me that wants to say, oh my God, that's an awful idea. Because if I say it's an awful idea, then people in your world will say it's a good idea. But if you do it, all I can say is Santa Claus is going to be visiting in June on even number years, which is when the primaries are, and will be giving us a gift in terms of who you guys end up nominating.
Well, when don't we give you a gift? You determine every rule, every finance one, You tell us what to do every time. You tell us who we have to have in the primaries. You tell us who we can elect in the primaries. So what the hell difference does it make? I mean, you guys have destroyed democracy in Colorado. There is zero chance of your ballot harvesting, your Dominion voting machines, your harvesting, your mule harvesting votes and everything else. There is no democracy left. You've destroyed it. And there's no chance Republicans will ever come back because you've rigged the system. Here's your only problem. You've rigged it so bad that a lot of people are saying, let's just acknowledge that we have a one state theocracy headed up by a total freak job in Jared Polis, who's a political hack, who's destroyed our businesses, destroyed our small businesses, and acknowledge, because you Democrats can destroy anything. You destroyed California. You can destroy Colorado. You could destroy a birthday party. I mean, you guys are the most evil, amoral things there are. And the Republican Party just accept it. Uh-oh, we better not opt out. The Democrats will have a huge advantage. Oh, okay. That's my
Chuck, I have one response. I have one response. Go to therapy. You obviously have some
insecurities. Yeah, right. Yeah, Chuck, we're going to cut you off now because we're going to move to
No.
Yes.
You can't go to therapy because most therapists are Democrats. So you can't even do that. But you have what chance do you think Colorado's will ever have in a foreseeable future a Republican House, Senate, and governor?
The next, couple. Actually, the state senate, it could happen. I think it's highly unlikely, but it could happen. You guys get your act together. Okay. And I've said this more than 100 times. As long as you think you can solve your problem through the party, you're going to continue to lose.
Good point. That's what you guys got rid of, essentially. That was the big part of Blueprint Colorado, right? Just get rid of the party.
Not get rid of it. It just exists. It's a piece of the puzzle.
Right. That's very smart thinking. So there we go. So Chuck,
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
The trouble is, unlike the Democratic Party, who has these massive organized groups like the CEA, like the SEIU, and you just go down the list of various union ones.
Basically the alphabet. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Including the Google alphabet.
There is no other structures in the Republican Party.
That's what Ted is saying, though, Chuck. They invented their own. There weren't structures in the Democrat Party until they came up with it.
Yes, there were. No. They came. These are the structures that exist. What Ted brilliantly did is he got those together with four very rich people who were dedicated to gay rights and other matters, and they really changed Colorado from heading toward back in 2000, 2001, and 2002. To a red state, and they've turned it to the bluest of blue states. And I think you're right. You can't do it within the party. I just don't know if there's a structure outside the party. And the problem with our billionaires is they agree with you on most issues. I mean, Phil Anschutz agrees with you. You work for Phil Anschutz or have done work for Phil Anschutz. He is by far the biggest contributor to the Republican Party. And I'm sure you get along with him because you have to have he must make sure that he has good advice from all different sides. But there's very little other money in Colorado, and there's no organizations, and so I don't see how we.
My first response is one: there were a number of people, many people that were involved in terms of turning Colorado blue. It wasn't me. I was one of many. I don't know Phil Anschutz. I've never represented Phil Anschutz. I agree with some of
I thought you had.
I believe I think that there should be a vibrant other side. And three, in response to the last few things you just been talking about again, I go back to you need, and no offense to this, but you need to go into therapy because you're being defeatist. And if you're defeatist, then you're not and the other piece is that it is obvious as to what to create. There are basic pieces in order to win, and you just have to create the entities in order to fill those pieces. It's a civic engagement piece. It's a fundraising piece. It's a media piece. It's a coordination piece. And you you know, a rapid response piece in terms of around communications. And it's not outrageously expensive to do. Now, maybe the way Republicans do it, because you hire a bunch of really expensive consultants, and the consultants are the ones that run it and charge five figures a month, you know, mid five figures a month in order to run it all, rather than creating an entity that you actually have like a real business plan to it. And you fund that and you use consultants where you need them. Don't let them run everything, because that's how they make a lot of money.
Perfect. See, Chuck? So don't be defeatist. Okay. That's what I'm saying too.
Don't be defeatist. I mean, you run 250,000 plus Democratic votes out of Denver, which cannot be made up in the rest of the state, even if we captured virtually all.
Yeah, you're being defeatist again. So we're going to move on. We're going to move on to talk about
fun
stuff.
Not being defeatist. No. We either start trying to change the system as Ted's done. He choked off all the money to the Republican Party. He's crooked every aspect of elections. We've got a crooked Secretary of State. We've got to figure out somehow to change the system
Chuck, let him finish.
Yeah. Chuck, what you're saying essentially is we can't win in the old way of just getting votes. So we think we need to change what the rules are in order to do it. So in other words, you're Georgia, you're Texas.
Wait, Ted, you're the guys who changed the rules. I don't mean to say anything, but you're the guys
who
changed
every rule there was.
You came up with the all-mail balloting,
registration.
The rules, you're the ones who changed the rules. To think of it.
Get him, Julie. Get him. I mean, you change every rule and then say, oh, you can't change any rules.
Change the rule back to the way it used to be is racist.
Yeah.
So Chuck, I'm putting my foot down. I want to move on because it's Party Friday to the fun stuff to talk about. Ted, in your wildest dreams, would you have some polls now have Joe Biden at below 40% approval rating. And in your wildest dreams, did you see that coming? Or wildest nightmares, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he had to make difficult decisions. When you make difficult decisions, sometimes, you know, in
it's hard to decide to leave all those Americans in Afghanistan. You're right. That was a toughie. All those people saying, no, Joe, rescue him. He's like, no, by God, I'm going to make a hard decision and I'm going to abandon Americans and let them be taken hostage by those friendly Taliban folks. So, Ted, come
on. And I'll leave open the southern border. And let COVID-infected illegal aliens pour across the border.
That was a hard decision.
Yeah, he's making hard decisions, all right.
It's like a point and pivot. It's like you got this situation that's difficult. It's like, oh, let's bring up illegal immigration. It's like, oh, my God, we have an argument about choice and reproductive rights. Ooh, let's bring up illegal immigration. Oh, we have an issue around the income tax credit. Ooh, let's bring up illegal immigration. It's like your guys' go-to argument.
Right, but the people who don't like him now are the independents and the Democrats. So they're Republicans never liked him. The reason he's dropping, he's not dropping among Republicans. He's dropping among massively independents and Democrats.
That's true. Independents piece. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a difficult few weeks. What?
Yeah.
Well, but I can't decide whether it's a good move or a bad move to take the somewhat draconian thing and try to mandate to the American people and employers vaccinations, which may or may not
I do want to go back to Afghanistan thing because I do have some thoughts on it. But since we brought up the vaccine piece and the mandate that the president put out, yesterday. One thing to think about, though, is you're a person walking down the street, and we have laws about you don't run out into moving traffic. That's a reason why we have crosswalks. And one of the reasons why we do that is so you don't get hurt. You don't get hit by a bunch of cars. The second reason is that you don't cause a bunch of car accidents. So if this idea that, oh, it's my freedom, I should be able to do this, then you should be able to run out into moving traffic.
Well, I mean, we're talking about a virus that has a 99.97% survival rate. I mean, it would be, we also don't shut down the entire roads. Do you know what I mean? If accidents, 99.9% of them, there was no harm done, we wouldn't close all the roads.
So in other words, you're saying, oh, it's okay to have a few people jump into traffic.
Well,
I'm saying that if people want to jump into traffic.
Wait. We have traffic accidents every year. We kill 35. Wait a minute, let me finish. We have 35,000 people die every year from car accidents. 35,000. Except we don't prohibit. We don't say nobody can go in a car. So right. So we have flu deaths that are that. And so all you guys can think of is to turn it into a tyranny. And you'll be jabbing us with shots, getting us fired from our jobs against a flu symptom. I mean, you guys are willing to be dictators on the flimsiest of excuses because you ought to believe the government should be not only an important thing, but the only thing.
Hey, and let me know, guys. We got Barney. We've never seen Barney actually.
All right. Yes,
Barney,
we need help, Barney.
On. Barney, do you want to check? Go ahead.
I was going to call this president a dumb son of a bitch, but Ted, you dumb son of a bitch, I couldn't get in on this, so I thought I had to start the video. But, Chuck, I'll give Ted a little bit of credit. I give up. Colorado is gone. But, Ted, don't you laugh too hard. You shouldn't be too proud of that. But, your stupid ass president, what the hell is that? You gotta admit, Trump looks like a brilliant president compared to this ass clown. You gotta admit that. Ted, come on, just admit it.
No. First of all, one, Barney. Ted, actually, this Ted. Is the first, Leon, this is the first time I've actually seen you and your voice.
Yeah, I know.
All those years. I know. You think I'm like avoiding? I think I'm avoiding. Listen, even comparing the two, I mean, you can't even put the two in the same class.
You're absolutely right. Trump never crapped his pants. But hang on a minute. I did meet you at one of those things. I gave you a big old hug while you were jumping Chuck shit in one of the tweet that. I met your partner too. I would like to say to him, Raj, what the hell are you thinking? What are you thinking being with this dumb son of a bitch? But wait a minute. Now that you guys let Ted on here, Casper needs raffle tickets bought. I can't think of a better guy to buy a raffle ticket for an AR-15 than Ted Trump. Can we agree on that? I think that's a great idea. Julie, you tell him he can't come back on the show unless he buys raffle tickets from Poor Casper had to listen to me on the phone.
Hey, Barney, what we'll do is we'll just let my right-wing husband buy the raffle tickets for the AR.
Raj could buy it. Of course, then you have to store it somewhere else because neither of you can keep it, you know, in Denver or where you guys
are. Or New York, for sure.
That would be awesome. Ted, the one thing I'll say to Chuck, even Ted, as brilliant as he is, these assholes couldn't have done what they did without the spineless Republican that we got. The Republican Party in the state. And Christie is not going to save anybody's day. We're screwed, man. That's all there is to it. But I love everybody here. I'm going to turn my video off.
I can tell you, Barney, I love you. I love you. And, you know, what Chuck is saying, if you guys keep being defeatists, we're going to keep winning.
Hey, Ted, we hate
you're
you.
You're going to – well, that's it. We don't acknowledge you break the system. You run crooked elections. We just smile and kind of go, oh, that's so cute. Those Democrats are so much fun.
No, I think what Ted is saying, though, and I agree with him, is we need to start doing that ourselves. I mean, and I agree with that. Rather than figuring out all of the ways that we can't do it, we need to start looking at how can we do it, because I think there's a lot at stake.
Well, the first thing which Ted had was lots and lots of money. He has lots of money in Colorado. He has lots of money from Catherine Murdoch. He has lots of money from everywhere. They have so much money, they spend it all in our primary. And I think people ought to revolt. I think people ought to say, we don't have a legitimate government. We don't have a legitimate election system. It's crooked. And if you keep, it's like going into the Soviet Union and kind of going, oh, what do you mean? You can easily win against Putin. Or you can, no, just need a better messaging against the Supreme Soviet. Oh, you don't like the government
We're going back to the fun conversation. Hey, Barney, I'm going to have you go ahead and turn your camera. Oh, if you want to weigh in one more time, Barney.
Okay, Ted, we love you, but you suck. Okay? We love you, but you suck. And by the way, the structure that these guys have to beat us up in this state, You would not believe, even for the school board election, their technology on their cell, it's unreal. We don't stand a chance that we're 10 years behind these guys. But, Ted, your president is one dumb son of a bitch. Now go buy that ticket from Casper.
Okay.
Love you guys.
All right. Thank you, Barney. Thank you, Barney. But I want to go back to Ted, though, to Biden. I mean, Ted, you're a political strategist. So if you're a political strategist and your president is like underwater as much as he is, not that other presidents haven't been. And this, I mean, you got to be saying to yourself, this is not good. And you got the, I think probably the biggest thing that's bad, that's good for Republicans, but it's bad, is the economy. I don't know how he's turning that around. I mean, for real. Yes, he's had to make, okay, hard decisions, whatever, whatever, whatever. But if you're a political strategist anywhere near the White House, you got to be kind of freaking out a little bit, don't you? Or do you not care?
Because I think the thing to compare is the color of the water in the pool in terms of people being underwater. And when Trump was underwater, it was all yellow, kind of gold. Oh. Because it all came out of his wet hair. Because he was underwater way more than any Democrat that is right now. And obviously, Biden, this has been a rough couple weeks, but these have been some tough decisions. Now, looking back, are there things to be concerned about on Afghanistan? The way I have looked at it is, one, he got really good advice and just went against it. Second, got advice that was kind of mealy-mouthed, and they were saying this is what could possibly happen, but there was like no direct conversation, and then the president decides to follow that. Or three, they're just all incompetent. My worry is it's number two, because if it's number two, then it's a worry that the people around him aren't being completely direct.
Right.
Because they can be completely direct, so he can be informed in terms of the decisions that he's going to make.
Well, because you got to look at
that. I will catch hell for saying.
Right.
But I that's how I see it. So
I kind of wonder, when you look at all the mixed messaging, right? You got the CDC, wear masks, don't wear masks, you know, get the booster shot, don't get the booster shot. Biden, we don't like mandates. We're not going to do mandates. We're going to do mandates. I mean, it seems to me, and we've talked about this, is it incompetence? Is it just chaos and confusion at the White House? Or is it just that you're reading some things now that the Democrats just don't care because, as Chuck points out, they have things so under control. It's like, okay, Biden's here for one term and who cares, you know, because we're going to be able to put in whoever we want after he's done. And so it doesn't matter.
Right. Well, I think it's not a safe assumption to say that, you know, a Democrat's going to be reelected, whether that's Biden or someone else.
Well, I think that's true. Yeah.
I think in the environment that we're facing, particularly, I think these midterms, we're going to bite it. I mean, I think you combine what's been happening around Afghanistan, what's happening around COVID, what's happening around the economy and inflation, and then you overlay that with the fact that it's a midterm election. I mean, I think it's really difficult. And the fact that we only have a 6-vote majority in the House and it's 50-50 in the Senate, and the only reason we want to control the Senate is what Trump did in Georgia, it doesn't necessarily look completely bright, which then leads one, and this is where frustrating for some, if you know you only have a finite period of time, then you hit the pedal on the right. You know, you don't use the brake, you use the accelerator. You accelerate out of the curve. And that's difficult for some folks, but you kind of know what you're going to be facing on midterm. So get done what you can get done.
Oh, you're talking about legislatively with the infrastructure bill that's going nowhere.
Politically, just make the hard decisions, do it. This is what you think you need to do. And cards will play out how they play out in 22.
Okay. All right. Chuck. All right. I'll let you talk again now, Chuck. Are you there? Uh-oh. Did we lose Chuck? Oh, that's too bad. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God. That's a first.
That is a first. He might, as his phone is, and I'm looking at the messages here. He still sees him on the line. Hey, Chuck, are you there? Chuck. Well, he is at his office. He might be doing stuff. Okay, well, then I'll go back to, because I do want to talk about that. Okay. So you're the one who said, and I agree with you. I disagree with Chuck in that there is no hope. Right. And I kind of agree that, you know, continuing to, I mean, I think there's some Republican Party leaderships and stuff like consultants that need to be called out. But at a certain point, you just have to do something about it. So when you talk about then go around the party, what did you guys do and how did you do it?
Well, in Colorado, you just look at the capacities that you need. What are the things you need in order to win? You don't go out and look, well, what entities are out there that can order to do it? You figure out what you need and you develop a plan around that. And then you see what assets you have in order to do that. And then what you don't have, you create.
What do you need?
But there's a mistake. Well, there's a mistake. think, okay, so there's an organization out there that does XYZ. So we'll go to them and say, well, how would you do this? You know, what do you think the plan is going to be? And I think that, you know, the thing to remember about most organizations, their number one goal is to survive. The second goal is to raise money. And the third is to do what they say their mission is. And one and two get in the way of three.
Right.
Create something where it's a structure of this is where we want to go. This is the plan we're going to do it. This is the money we have to do it. This is the piece that you can play. I mean, there's this assumption that because an organization exists and they're, you know, leadership in the organization, they therefore are the brightest people in order to do it. You go back to one, two, and three. One and two get in the way of three.
Okay.
And I just think structurally you can never really get around that.
Okay. Let me, Chuck is back, but Chuck, before you talk, Charlene has raised her hand. Hey, Charlene, go ahead.
Hi there. First of all, I just want to congratulate Chuck on the excellent job he did last night.
Yes, yes.
I felt like he
did right
for opposition. I mean, it was just so good. And, passionate and on target. And you actually addressed the issue of why we should opt out. So anyway, also, since Ted's there, I wonder if he is happy with the way that Kamala is going to be installed, or Kamala is going to be installed as president. You know, I think he's well connected, because remember Ted told us about 12 months ago that Kamala was going to be the pick. Now here she finagled her way in there and she could be president. So how did he know? How did he know that so far back? Are you that well connected, Ted?
It's actually because I'm part of the Illuminati.
No, you're QAnon. You're QAnon, Chad. We've been through this before. You're QAnon.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah. I believe that their baby sacrifice is happening in the basement of a pizza restaurant. Right.
You'd know about it.
No, you would know about it. Back to your question. I don't want to ignore it. First of all, one, there's no plan. I would be stunned if there is, that all of a sudden Biden's going to go away and they're going to install Kamala as president. And I think if you take a look at the performance and what's been going on as of late, I think that there's a question as to who is the best candidate in order to be the next Democratic president. And, you know, a lot of people have written about that. So I'm not saying that's something that's not already out there.
And right.
Okay, well, can I say one more thing? Barney got me really fired up. You know, I'm so proud of Casper, because you know how Eventbrite just pulled the plug on him. Well, he's found a new venue to go through called TicketLeap.com. And his, you can get tickets to the event, and you can buy raffle tickets for pistols and rifles. And so every woman needs more protection these days. So you can get a ticket for $25 to get one of these.
To get a raffle ticket. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So I've got mine, and I just encourage everyone, if they can't make it to the event, go to TicketLeap.com and look for Americans First, the Kiowa event that's going on tomorrow.
All right, cool. All right, Casper has all of us working for him. All right, thank you, Charlene. Yeah, appreciate that.
Thank you. I'm gonna buy one ticket for myself and one for Raj. you'll be covered.
Just make sure you'll be covered. Gonna get the gun. You get your background.
Although, Ted, let me ask you about that, though, too, because when you talk about the pieces, here's another thing. I mean, what's your take on, so Casper Stockham, he's a conservative Republican. I think you've probably seen him around. He's been involved in Colorado politics forever. He was holding an event, and Eventbrite, and he was putting out tickets on Eventbrite, and Eventbrite just canceled him because he was a conservative, and the event had mentioned guns. It was going to be occurring at a gun show. I mean, what did Chuck and I banned from YouTube, right? And YouTube, it wasn't enough. They went back, and we were banned for saying 12-year-olds shouldn't wear masks after POLA said they didn't have to, after the state health department said they didn't have to. We were banned for, after that, they went back months and months and found some shows. I mean, but this crackdown, the big tech crackdown, what do you make of that? And do you have, if I were a Democrat, I'd just be worried that they might quit liking what I have to say too, or I mean, who controls there?
This is where I'm in the ACLU space and a free speech space. How do you draw lines in terms of, you know, who can say something, who can't say something, and what can they say? The First Amendment means something. Free speech is something. You may not like it. We have to figure out ways of making sure that people are informed with real facts. But if we're allowing companies to be the ones that are the arbiters of what's going to be out there because they're succumbing to political pressure for it, I personally have real concerns about that. Because, that table can turn. That table can turn really quickly. It's the same thing around, left groups and left folks saying we can't use certain words, we can't use certain language, and we're now going to try to essentially censor the speech and censor how you talk about certain things because we have a particular political viewpoints that I may agree with. But to say because of that viewpoint, because we can make a judgment about something that's happened in the past and that was a wrong thing to happen in the past, so therefore we have to change language today and change how you speak today, I think that's corrosive for a culture over time.
Yeah, I think so, and people fight back. All right, hey, Chuck, you drop down for a second. Right. We've only got a couple more minutes.
I wanted to go into back to Biden for a second. And whether he made some tough decisions or didn't make tough decisions, I guess that's how you look at things. But once you have it, a public relations disaster, like Kennedy had after the Bay of Pigs, he came on television and he was, he had humility, he had a sense of humor. And even if you were incredibly mad about how that thing got botched up, he just made you feel that he admitted that there was a problem and he was going to fix the problems. And you couldn't help but like him. You couldn't help it. Joe comes on and he screams at you. He sits on the set and occasionally whispers. But it's no humility. It's dictatorial. It is the worst of the worst. If he had problems with Afghanistan after he goes on television, and the same with the COVID and everyone else. And I remember the old Joe Biden. I certainly went to speeches of his at DU and elsewhere, where he came across as, good old Joe. I mean, he was likable. But boy, the presidential Joe is really bad. I mean, you just look at that. I don't care who it was. That is not a good way to present your side. Do you think they don't know that, or just at this point, Joe's not really capable of giving a speech other than in that pedantic kind of screaming manner?
First of all, I don't think it's a case of he only is capable of doing a speech in a pedantic screaming manner. I think it was context, a situation where it was a really difficult decision. You're getting attacked from a lot of sides. And so you're defending what your decision was. And I caution a little bit that comparing how JFK responded to this, I think there's a little bit of nostalgia about that because, we're talking about a decision, or in a speech that was back in the early 60s, and we're 50 years later, whatever the number is, I'm not good at arithmetic. So I would be careful of making those kinds of comparisons. With that said, does it seem like there was a little bit of a switch of, the Joe Biden for the one who's a uniter and warm and pulls us together? And in this, in this instance, there was, some edge to it. And was that surprising? Not surprising, but is that something that you normally wouldn't see from him? And I can see why that would cause some concern. And you see I'm really trying to dance around this.
Right. Well, and he keeps saying I'm not supposed
to. Well, let me go back to the nostalgia part. I mean, I actually remember Kennedy and I actually remember the speech. And I remember the time, even though I was very young, I was outraged about its incompetence. And I remember after the speech kind of going, that was pretty good. So, and I still didn't like him, but I thought that's a way to handle a crisis. And when I watched, Joe, I don't like Joe. I didn't like Kennedy, but I went, that's not the way to handle it. There are better ways than shouting at people. Shouting seldom is a good oratory technique. Negotiation or something.
We've talked about this before. Shouting at somebody and just saying your same argument over and over and over because you think there's going to be an epiphanous experience, or an epiphanous moment. If you want an epiphany, open a Bible.
Ah, there you go. Hey, Chuck, we are out of time with Ted. We're going to have you back again.
As always.
So, Ted, here, a toast to you. Caffeinated water versus scotch, but happy Friday. Say hello to Arash there, too. Ted, thank you.
We'll do. Hey, and with Arash, Gutfeld.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and promote it. Okay.
Ray Gutfeld Pro. So 11 p.m. Eastern on Fox News. If you're out in Colorado, it's 9 p.m. Mountain Time. You have to watch it. It's a great show.
Arash has moved on to be a producer at Greg Gutfeld Show. And I'm only going to point this out, that the instant Arash moved over, Gutfeld moved into the number one late night position, too. So I see a direct correlation.
So do I. So
All right. Thanks, Ted.
That's great, Ted. Hey, take care.
You know, and that is very true. I mean, I don't know that Arash is totally responsible, but I think it says a lot, Chuck, that Gutfeld is doing as well as he is. It's a funny show. I just think, you know, if people aren't watching it, you should watch it. Initially, I didn't like it, but I do like it now. So thank you, Ted.
Funny. Yeah, no, it's a great show.
All right. So we have now, we want to switch gears a little bit to help promote things because Eventbrite won't. So we've got Laurel Eimer running for Congress in the 7th District, and we've got Rich Wyatt, her fundraising guy on line 5. So look, go ahead, Laurel, you're there. And if we want to go ahead and bring Rich on the line too. Hey, thank you for your time on this Party Friday afternoon.
Hi, how are you, Julie? How are you, Chuck?
We're good.
I'm great, Laurel.
Chuck is on the phone. So let me go ahead and Rich, I'm just going to, you've done this a million times before too. Just jump in whenever you kind of want to, you and Laurel.
Okay, thanks guys. It's nice to talk with you.
Nice to talk to you too.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Rich.
So number one, you've got stuff coming up. And again, we want to go ahead and promote these stuff because it's hard to get your events promoted sometimes in the digital day and age or big tech day and age that we live in. So what do you have going on?
Well, we are bringing out, American Sheriff Mark Lamb from Pinal County, Arizona. And we are also bringing out Arizona GOP Chairwoman Kelly Ward. And they're going to be joining us. Yeah, they're joining us for our America First fundraiser. And the event is going to be held at the Dunafin Castle in Idledale, Colorado. It's Sunday morning, September 26th. It's a brunch with mimosas and Bloody Marys and a beautiful brunch. In a beautiful environment.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Great. And we're going to talk about election integrity. We're going to talk about the border crisis, illegal immigration, drug trafficking, and human trafficking. And then we also will have special guest, Colorado's own Tom Tancredo, who is just a hero to most of us, who's been on the front line of the border crisis for 30 years. So it's going to be a fantastic event. And Rich is the one who arranged us to be at the Dunafin, and it's a fantastic venue. So we thank you for that, Rich. It's going
to
be great.
Hey, Laurel, let me just say to the people, I know Chuck and Julie and Laurel have been out to Dunafin Castle before, but it is probably one of the top venues in the state of Colorado, and it's a real castle. And if you've never been there and seen the grounds and the beautiful ponds and all the stuff that's there, It's a beautiful, typical Colorado place, but not lodgy, all castle-y. And if you never got the experience to be out there because you weren't invited to one of the super high-end weddings they have there or the huge events that they have, then this is an opportunity to get out there and see what they offer there, because you can't see this place from the road. You drive right by it, and you have no idea that it's there, right? Right, Chuck?
Well, it's right on a river or Bear Creek, and it's there's nothing typical Colorado about it, I'm afraid. It is.
Well,
it was a mad genius's dream, and he built the castle in the 1930s with the water wheels, and it is so gorgeous. It is so much fun to be there, and on a Sunday morning with mimosas, man, that doesn't get much better. Kelly Ward, America's Sheriff, Tom Tancredo, you've really stepped up the game here, Rich, and Laurel, that is a wonderful event.
Chuck and Julie, have you guys met Mark Lamb? I mean, he's a phenomenal guy. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a chance to meet him?
Mm-mm, mm-mm. No, I never have.
I hope you guys would be interested. If you've got time, you'd be interested in coming. We'd love to have you as our guest. He is such a great guy. You guys are going to love him. I mean, he is just a real slice of Americana. And you don't get an opportunity to speak to a guy like that. And people don't realize, I don't think, in our country, how powerful our sheriff is. The sheriff is so powerful in the United States because he has such control of law enforcement in his county. This guy is, I personally think, in the county government, that the sheriff is your most important elected official.
You ran for sheriff, didn't you?
You had to bring that up, didn't you? Yes, I lost. by 84.
You don't want to talk about losing.
No. Hey, and let me make a pitch, too. In terms of your event, because I know, because as Rich mentioned, Chuck and I have been up there, and maybe there are other people out there like us that a lot of times, you know, on a weekend we want to go to an event, but Rev is like our 10-year-old. It's like, no, right? This is a kind of place that is very kid-friendly. If you were to bring your kid up there, your kid, I mean, you don't want him running wild or anything like that. And little Tommy, no, Julie, shut up. We don't want kid, but I'm assuming you're welcoming families. And so just if there's any parent out there who has a kid, this is not a kind of event where the kid is going to have to be sitting on a chair while a bunch of adults drone on and on and on. This is a lovely place for a kid to get almost kind of like a little hiking trip up into the mountains too. So just any parent out there, so that's always a concern for us. And you don't have to worry about this at the Dunafin Castle.
No. And we want families. We absolutely want families because that's the family unit is part of what's being destroyed in America right now. And we want to surround ourselves with families. And we want to make sure that people understand that my position as your elected congresswoman will be to protect the family unit in America. It's vitally important.
Yeah. My kids are going to be there because they enjoy the political stuff, which is surprising. A lot of kids don't, but they really love that spot. And so it's also a great spot, Julie, if you're a guy out there and you want to impress some girl, try to convince her to marry you. Like, I don't know how Chuck convinced you, Julie. I don't know how that happened. But he tricked you somehow.
I told her I owned Dunafin Castle. So.
Yeah.
Oh, you did that. That's a good one. That would work, Chuck. That would work. And, you know, it's just if you got a date you want to take out to a thing, this is such a grand place that it's a great spot. So more than this isn't going to be our typical political event where everybody's talking to you and telling you what you got to do and any of that stuff. This is going to be a party. We're going to have a great time. We're going to hang out. We do have some speakers that are going to talk and they're going to say some things. And they're very, very good speakers. But mostly you're going to get an opportunity to have a very personal connection with the speakers, which you don't get at most places. You'll get to take a picture with them and have a good time and meet them. I know Mark is going to bring some of his books and some challenge coins. And we're also going to auction off one of his famous cowboy hats that he wears. We're going to have him autograph that. And then we're going to auction that off to, of course, the highest bidder. So it's going to be a great all around fun event. And, you know, we're going to have some top people there. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't want to tell everybody that's going to be there because it'd be fun to just come meet some people. But if you're looking to network, if you got a business you want to network, this is a great opportunity to be there. So we're really excited.
Moreover is for a great cause. Cause I've known Laurel and Weston, her great son, for a while. She's a great grassroots candidate running for Congress. And you couldn't have somebody who's more America first, more pro Trump, more pro America. So it's a great cause.
And Laura, where can people get tickets if they want information?
Okay, so there's a variety of places. You can go on our website, which is laurelimerforcongress.com, and follow the ticket link there. Tickets start at $75 and go up to $1,200, depending upon what type of package you want. And then you can also get the ticket link on our Facebook page. You can also get it on Eventbrite. So there's a variety of opportunities. People can find it no matter what sources they have. And we just really encourage you to get your tickets early because, like Rich said, this is an intimate event. This is not going to be thousands of people. This is going to be a few people who are, you know, chosen, who we've asked to come, and then the people who choose to participate with us. So it's going to be a really once-in-a-lifetime experience to be up close and personal, spend time. One of the things I hate about events is that the grassroots get kicked to the side and put in the back of the room, and only the elites get to participate. I absolutely do not do that in my events. Everyone there gets to participate. Yes, if you bought a VIP, you do get a little bit more access, but you're not going to be restricted just because you bought the general admission $75 ticket. You are still going to be in the room. You're still going to get to talk to people. You're going to be in the space. You're not going to be feeling like you're put in the back because you aren't worthy. Cause I hate that. I hate that.
And you got mimosas. I mean,
and you have mimosas and Bloody Marys and a beautiful brunch. And we are also going to have, because it's a Sunday morning and I'm being respectful of taking people away from their church services and coming out to support me, we're going to have a very special message brought to us by a special guest. It's just going to be short, like 5 minutes. We're not going to preach to you, but we just want to have that available for people as well, so that they don't feel like they've missed what I know they cherish, and I don't want to put them out on that. So we're going to be able to do everything, and it's just going to be a fantastic morning.
All right. Hey, listen, well, thank you guys. Laurel Eimer, Rich Wyatt for coming on. Appreciate that. Yeah. This sounds like a great event. You know,
it should be great.
All right. Thank you guys.
We hope to see you there.
All right.
Hey, thank you so much. Yeah. Good luck, Laurel. Good, Rich.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Hey, Chuck, we've only got about 3 more minutes. Do you want to, for folks, I mean, once again, you guys did, and thank you to everybody who's congratulated Chuck. You want to give like your own like kind of little quick wrap up of your last night's debate, the opt-out, save the Republican Party debate last night?
Yeah. Well, it was a great debate held by the Hispanics of Colorado, Republican Hispanics, and it down at the Independence Institute. And we had myself and Anil Mathai and Representative Dave Williams on one side. And we had KNUS radio host Jimmy Sengenberger, as well as the head of the Douglas County Republicans. And it was an incredibly spirited debate. And I really thank everybody involved with it, including our debating opponents, who I thought did a very good job themselves. But
you guys did a better job, though.
Well, you know, you like to think so, but, you know, who knows?
Right.
But we're heading, I think, with enormous momentum toward September 18th. And I think everybody's coming together on the idea that we've got to, at a minimum, finally stand up for ourselves. As Ted said, he can't believe Republicans never stand up for themselves.
Well, and not only that, what you guys are also doing, like he says, you need to quit waiting for the party to come to do everything for you. You got to do it for yourselves. I mean, that's, I think, what this is. You're saying, hey, this is not working. And the party's like, well, we don't want to change it because of the consultants. And you're saying, heck with that. You know, then we're going to go ahead and try ourselves.
You still need the party to be the plaintiff and to contribute, but. We're not waiting for the party. If you're waiting for the party to do something, you're going to be at a bus stop for a long, long time.
Well, and I think too
the bus
often
ain't coming.
The Republican Party forgets we are the party, right? It's like
The consultants certainly forget about that, and they control so much of that. But Ed, we have on our side the vice chair, Priscilla Rahn. We have on our side the secretary, right. Marilyn Harris, and the chair. She's quote unquote neutral, but we have two of the three, and that shows you how the grassroots are doing. It used to be you'd have the chair telling everybody what to do, and that's not really the case anymore. And
exactly,
it's going to be a great event, and on September 18th, and I think we'll maybe finally shake the party out of its lethargy and refusing to do anything other than you know, putting some Facebook ads out.
All right. Hey, listen, Chuck, that's good. We got to wrap up now. We're getting the wrap up signal. Alrighty. Hey, thank you to everybody to Ted. Thank you to Laurel and Rich. Thank you to everybody who called in. I know Karen Catalin was there. We'll get to her calls. I know she wants to debate Ted. We'll have to tell her to call in right away next time. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. Yep, thank you. That's well. I'll get rid of my sparkling water and move to something a little more Party Friday-ish. And we'll see you on Monday, everybody. Thank you.
Take care, everybody.